It's the Rashog Report. The Rashog Report brought to you by The Golf Den. Check out their Callaway and Cobra Golf Performance Centers, where we offer winter lessons packages and golf club custom fittings by PGA of Canada professionals. Visit golfden.ca. Ryan, I made sure Connor didn't make the same mistake twice, and I made sure he got some Timberlake for you.
Well, doing it twice is a fireable offense.
It really is. He was warned. Don't worry. He was warned. Hey, how are you, man? Good?
Good, yeah. Yeah, feeling a little better today, and it's good, yeah.
You're not at Buclair Homes today? You're at home?
No, not Buclair. Although I did pick up a rug from Costco.
Oh, wow. So. You're living wild today, right on.
Definitely doing some home furnishing stuff the last few days. You know, you get inspired now and then.
Oh, of course. We've been talking a lot so far in the first hour of the show about jersey tossing. Obviously, it's happened here. It's been happening in Toronto. Last night was a lot of jerseys being thrown on the ice. Ryan, what's your take on the frustration in two very passionate fan bases that they're throwing their clothes on the ice?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think that I don't like the notion of people being arrested or anything silly like that. I think that whatever the rules are in the building, like, what would happen if you chucked your hot dog out on the ice? Whatever is supposed to happen if you chuck your hot dog on the ice, that should be what happens if you throw your jersey on the ice. I mean, it's pretty standard rules. There's certain things you can and can't do. You stand up and boo all you want and be grumpy all you want, but you start throwing stuff on the ice and delaying the game, and there's penalties for that. So I think the bigger deal a team makes out of it, the more it's going to happen. You just kind of brush it off and treat it like any other debris being thrown on the ice, and it'll probably go away faster. But as long as they continue to make a huge deal out of it, then the clowns out there that want to do it are going to keep doing it.
Yeah, you're right. Everyone wants their 15 minutes of fame. Yesterday, we talked about Bob Green's promotion of the player of personnel for the Oilers. They sent a press release out today. We got a text in, and I want to ask you about it. Where does Bob Green's promotion actually rank him now? Like, at the draft, does he have final say? Is it still McTavish's final say? Is it still Stu McGregor? Like, where is Bob Green rank in this reshuffling?
Well, I mean, I think that Daryl Cates has shown to have final say in the past, but I would say that he probably falls in, he probably falls in kind of below Scott Housen, ahead of Rick Carrier, ahead of Stu and those guys for sure. They've got a lot of management happening, right?
They do.
A lot.
A lot of management. So, they had a lot of coaches, too, at one point.
Yeah. So who all gets a seat at the draft table? I mean, you're going to have Kevin there. You're going to have Scott Housen there, Bill Scott, Craig McTavish, you know, Bob Green now. I mean, the list just goes on and on and on, plus, you know, Stu and all the scouts. So I think he definitely ranks ahead of Stu and the scouting staff. I think he probably comes in and around the range of, like, Bill Scott, the assistant general manager, somewhere in there.
Okay, Ryan Rashog joins us. Oilers on the road in Washington tonight, taking on the Capitals. It looks like Victor Foss is going to get a second consecutive start. I thought he played well against the Panthers, but I'm a little surprised they're going back to him tonight, especially it's the last game before the All-Star break. Ben Scrivens is going to go a long time without games. Are you shocked the Oilers are going back to Victor Foss tonight?
I don't think so. I think if they can get him playing well, then they'll trade him. I mean, if they can get him playing decent at least, then maybe a team that suffers an injury or an issue here as we approach the trade deadline, then maybe there's a deal to be had. So I don't think there's anything wrong with riding him a little bit while he's playing well.
One player I want to ask you about is Rob Klinkhammer. Not the biggest of moves when the Oilers brought him in, but in seven games, it looks like the guy's been working his behind off. It looks like he's fighting for his contract. What have you thought of Klinkhammer's seven games with the Oilers?
Yeah, I think he's been good. I mean, he's a serviceable NHL player, isn't he?
He's absolutely.
Pretty fast and bangs bodies and gets in on the forecheck. He definitely helps them and gives them a little bit of what they need. He's not going to generate much offense for you, but that's okay if he's playing on your fourth line. So I've been fine with him, but I like guys that hit. I like guys who think hit first. I don't think the Oilers have enough of them. And so that's not a player that's going to bother me.
Do you think maybe in the offseason we'll have to decide between Klinkhammer and a guy like Matt Fraser? Are those two guys fighting for the same spot?
Yeah, you know what? Probably. And it'll depend on where they draft and if they end up with a player that steps right in or not. It'll depend on any trade they potentially make, free agency. But he'll be in the mix, I would think.
that he's shown enough that they'd like to bring him back and get a, you know, I don't know what contract wise it looks like, but I think he's probably in the mix to be on the team. They need what he's got.
Ryan Rashog from TSN joins us. Saturday night, the Oilers were in Florida. They got a 3-2 victory in a shootout. Justin Schultz, I know they played 65 minutes in that game, but Justin Schultz still played north of 24 minutes. Is there ever going to be a stop to this? He played 5.5 on the power play.
Yeah.
Will Justin Schultz continue to play north of 24 minutes the rest of the season?
I'm not sure. We'll have to wait and see what where Todd Nelson's head is at and how Justin plays. You know, like I said, I gave my theory on this before, that this is Todd Nelson wanting to give Justin Schultz a clean slate and plenty of opportunity. But if the level of play doesn't dictate that he get that many minutes, then it's going to stop making sense for the rest of the players. That's what happened with Dallas. He kept shoveling the minutes onto Justin Schultz, and it just didn't make sense in the context of the dressing room and the other players, and it was no good, and he had to stop doing it. And I would suspect that Todd Nelson's going to get to that headspace pretty quick here, that if his play doesn't pick up, you know, that's now we likely have a Petrie trade coming at some point too, which, you know, that's going to keep Schultz's minutes up as well. So, but I just think he needs to play Mark Fane more. I think that's the change that needs to happen. He needs to funnel some minutes from Schultz to Fane.
The Oilers are in Washington tonight to take on the Capitals. This is Barry Trotz' first year in Washington, was in Nashville for a long time. But the Capitals sit with a record of 24-13-8, hanging on to one of the final wild card spots in the East. I guess, are you surprised that Barry Trotz has the Capitals where they are? Like, they have a lot of talent on paper, but are you surprised that Trotz has been able to kind of harness Alexander Ovechkin to what he's done this season?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. He's had some success, and I don't think that it was smoke and mirrors that he extracted pretty good hockey out of the Nashville Predators for all yep. those years. I think he's a very sought-after coach when he was available. So, you know, I think it took a little bit of time for he and Ovechkin to figure each other out, and maybe they still have it. I don't know. But, you know, he's got the team playing pretty well, and he's got – I mean, look at the year he's getting out of his offensive players. I mean, when has Barry Trotz had a Backstrom or an Ovechkin to work with in his arsenal? When's he had the opportunity to try and deploy those kind of offensive assets? Yet these guys are still producing at a high level. It's not like he's drained any offense out of these guys. I mean, you know, Ovechkin with his 25 goals is up right near the top of the league. And I'm not surprised. I think Barry Trotz coached the way he coached because of what he had in Nashville. And given a different set of variables, I think he's showing he can coach a little bit of a different way.
The Rashog Report, brought to you by The Golf Den. Ryan Rashog of TSN joins us. Between the pipes for the Capitals tonight, it's going to be Braden Holtby. Adam Vingan yeah. from NBC Washington joined us last segment, and he said the goaltending coach that the Capitals brought in the offseason was one of the better hires. Holtby's had really good numbers so far this season. Save percentage north of .920. His GA is 2.22. He's quickly yeah. becoming one of the better goalies in the NHL, isn't he? He's only 25 years old.
Yeah, well, he's one of these young guys that that the organization is kind of stuck with. They've probably had the opportunity to move him in the last few years, but they wanted to stay with him. And pretty young, and his best days might still be ahead of him. And it just goes to show you that where goaltending is concerned, you kind of have to be patient with young guys, and you have to let them develop. You have to let them play and let them develop. And they're going to have lots of ups and downs, and you can't just bail on guys when they have some ups and downs. And so now they've got a guy who's playing a lot, and you know, he's played 39 of their games this year. He's playing a ton, and he's given them a higher level of play than they've seen before from him. So it's about organizational patience. He's been with them for some time now.
Speaking of organizational patience, I want to ask you about the OKC Barons, the Oilers farm affiliate. They have been yeah. white hot for, I guess, a 2 or 3 week stretch. Jerry Fleming's taken over since Todd Nelson came to Edmonton to run the bench. What do you equate the success to OKC? Like, where is this coming from? And can this transition up to the big club if your American League team has success?
Yeah, I mean, I don't, I don't know that it has. I don't know that it'll transition up. I don't know that that happens. I mean, the guys down there are doing a nice job. It's not like they've got a bunch of guys who are lighting it up offensively either, right? Like their leading point getter is Williams with 34 points in 38 games. You know, Pekkarinen's been a good addition, good quality game. He's succeeding at the American League level. He's generating some goals. I mean, we don't watch this team play all the time.
Yeah.
But, I mean, if you look at guys who the Oilers have in their system that they want to be part of their system moving forward, you know, Pekarinen's done well for himself. I think Brad Hunt's kind of had his opportunity. He's almost a point-of-game player down there. Ryan Hamilton, same thing. He's kind of, you know, the guys I'm talking about are like the Curtis Hamiltons and the Jujhar Kara's and the, you know, David Musiel's and these guys. And they're not playing a huge role in what's going on down there. It's kind of some of the other parts that they've added.
Ryan Ashok from TSN joins us. Let's just go around the NHL with a couple of quick hitters for you, Ryan. Calgary wins 2-1 last night in overtime against the LA Kings. They're hanging on to the final wildcard spot. Art West, they're getting lights out goaltending from it. Doesn't even seem to matter who's between the pipes for them, but can the Flames keep this up? Are they a playoff team?
Yeah, good question. That's like the, I mean, depends if you buy into the analytics or if you just watch them play and think there's a lot of quality in their game. I mean, this is what I'll say. From the start of the year, people have been saying that the Flames are going to fall off, and the Flames are going to fall off. And there was a time where they did. They definitely did. There was a nosedive that happened. But they've been able to pick up their socks here. They've been able to keep themselves in the mix when a lot of people felt like when it started going, it was just going to be gone. So I'm not at this point prepared to write off the Calgary Flames. They're right in the mix in that wild card spot. There's some good teams floating around. I'm like the Los Angeles Kings are right in that mix too. There are some good teams, buddy, but they've done it this far. They've maintained it this far. I'm not going to bet against that team the way they play.
If you were in Las Vegas right now, would you bet the LA Kings would miss or make the playoffs?
I think they'll find a way to get there. I mean, they're just too veteran a team. They find a way to, like, remember, I think when they first won the Cup there a few years ago, didn't they just barely squeak into the playoffs?
They were an 8 seed, I believe, yeah.
Yeah, and then they just totally dominated. I covered them through most of those playoffs, and they were just dominant. They blew through those playoffs. I think that's when they beat Jersey in the final. So I wouldn't count out the Los Angeles Kings. They got too many veteran players. They still have one of the best goalies on the planet. They got a pretty savvy coach. I wouldn't say that they're going to fall off. I would look for other teams to fall out of the mix before they do.
And Ryan, we'll get you out here on this one. This is kind of the unofficial halfway mark of the season is tonight there's action and tomorrow night, and then it's the All-Star break.
Yeah.
Looking at the standings, there are some surprises. To me, the Islanders at the top of the Metropolitan Division is a big one. But what's been the biggest shock for you so far in the first half of the season?
The Nashville Predators,
yeah.
I think. I think 64 points in, you know, through their first 44 games. The quality of play, like they've turned it around so fast, and they do such a nice job. David Poile is one of the best in the league at his job, and what they've been able to do here is turn a quick 180. They don't have to do complete rebuilds. They don't have to tear it down and build it back up again. They've been able to add some pieces, make a few trades, keep their world-class defense pairing together. Their goaltending has been good. Like, they find a way to make lemonade out of lemons year after year, and David Poile has turned this thing on a dime, and now they're one of the best teams in the league and certainly one of the best in the conference.
Yeah, absolutely. 30 wins, 64 points, one of the bigger surprises of the season. Ryan Ashok of TSN, thank you for your time today. Ryan, Gregor is back tomorrow, and we'll tune in to you and Jay tomorrow.
Right on. Sounds good, buddy. Have a great one.